Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
How do we go on that journey of rejecting the negative talk?
The way we learned to navigate failure was that, you know, not only have you failed, you are a failure. It became a label and not just an experience, right?
The journey to self-esteem is a fight. It's a battle. You actually need to contend for your health and happiness and your well-being.
Yeah, life is way too short to be lived for other people who really don't matter.
Hello and welcome to the Two My Sisters podcast. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Renee, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the Two My Sisters podcast.
We are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters around the world.
And in today's podcast episode, we're going to be talking about existing loudly.
Let's go.
Overcoming shame, overcoming embarrassment, discouragement, and early stage haters.
Good topic.
Okay, so this topic was actually inspired by a reel that you actually did relatively recently where you talked about overcoming shame. If you haven't already,
I stay shouting at people on the
listen,
web.
Listen, stay shouting at people, but sometimes people need to be shouted at, and this is a continuation of us shouting.
Thank you for giving me permission.
We're here to shout. Okay, we won't be shouting too loudly.
No,
we
won't
will
do
keep
that.
The decibels.
We love you here.
No, exactly. And I thought it would actually be a good idea to have a conversation about overcoming shame, overcoming discouragement, because I think as two folks that have been showing up consistently on this podcast, being content creators, having to occupy spaces where you have to exist loudly, I think that sometimes as women, we don't get the opportunity to do that. And it's almost like we have to constantly give ourselves permission to just exist and exist loudly. Yeah. So I wanted to have a bit of a conversation about that and encourage the sisters to take up their space.
Nice.
But before we do that, do we have any housekeeping announcements?
What day is this coming out? Yes, we do. If you want to snap up a ticket to come to our Step Up for Ghana. As you guys know, we're doing Step Up for Ghana. As you guys know, we are doing an aerobics class, a steps aerobics class, in collaboration with Forth the Brand. And tickets are still available. So definitely hit the link in our description if you would like to come along and step with the sisters. It's actually going to be so fun. Good music, good people, some snacks.
Come on now.
Why wouldn't you want to be involved? So yeah, if you would like to grab a ticket, grab it down below. As you guys know, all profits, all proceeds are going towards our Bright Future Academy, our school project. We are building a school in Ghana, if you don't know.
If you do, welcome.
If you do not know. We are currently building a school. And yeah, we're just in the middle of funding for that. And so grab a ticket please
now,
come and join us. It'll be nice to see you. If you're in London, come and see. It's on the 27th of April.
Absolutely.
So come and see us. Be with us.
Be with us. Step with us. A mantra, a movement. Come and step with us. But if you cannot step with us, you can still support the work that we are doing by donating directly to us. We'll also leave the link below in the description. But if you're in the States, if you're in South Africa, if you're in Kenya, if you're anywhere and you want to continue supporting us in our efforts to make this a wonderful, excellent and just top tier school, you can always continue to donate. So please, please, please continue to support us either in person or through donating.
Yes.
And also your regular reminder that we are authors.
If you would like to read our book, then you definitely should. It's not only available on Amazon and pretty much every bookstore, everywhere. The girls are ranting and raving about it. I woke up to a review this morning from a lovely lady whose handle is Just Reading with Tando. Search it. Spaces actually, because she's cool like that.
There you go.
She read the book with her best friend and they actually recorded a podcast episode on it, all around like adult friendships and stuff like that. So yeah, if you want to go and listen to it, I have not listened to it. It could be a negative review, but that's how democratic this sisterhood is. I want you to still go and support,
go and listen to a potentially negative review, but we have a feeling, an inkling suspicion based off of the words that she shared on her Instagram that it is positive.
Absolutely. So,
alas, Sisters, if you haven't already gotten a copy of the book, please, please, please support us, support the sisterhood, yes, support this community by getting a book, and also buy one for a friend.
Do buy the book for a friend.
Please.
Yeah, this book, thank you. This book was actually made for you to read it alongside your friends. Absolutely. So the activities, doing them at the same time, the conversation points, having those conversations when you meet up. And so it really is like an active doing book. So definitely buy one for you, buy one for your friend, buy one together, and walk through it, talk through it, grow through it. Yeah,
we've had some exceeding reviews, and if you already have a copy of the book and you have read it and you've enjoyed it, please leave us a review so that we can signpost to other sisters how great this book is and how much it has had an impact on your life and the life of the sisters around you. Support the sisterhood community, sisterhood economy, big things are going, so please support us.
Please support us.
Anywho, I think that's it for the housekeeping for now.
Oh, it's my birthday on Saturday.
Oh my gosh, by the time this comes out. Okay, guys, if you're listening to this, quam, breaking news. CDB turns a grand 27.
Yeah, so next TMS Hot Takes episode is the last episode of me being 26.
Crazy.
A young spring chicken babe.
So how do you feel
about turning 27?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I feel absolutely amazing.
I think 27 is such a you year.
Yeah, I think so too. To be very honest with you, I feel like 27 to like 33.
Yeah.
Those are like my
golden years, mate.
Not even golden, because it's only going to get better, but let's establish ourselves.
Yeah.
Who are we? Like, what are we really about?
It's giving grown.
Yeah. Not that it's ever too late to, like, you know, do all of those grounding things. Mm. But I'm like, I think it leans really well into today's episode topic. I'm kind of just like, you know what? I want to just be who I am unapologetically. And I feel like those years are where you really start building your confidence at like an accelerated rate.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm excited for that. So I feel like I'm entering into an era of just confidently being me. Yeah, I feel like I've been discovering who I am and like my talents and my passions and all of that. So now I'm like, oh, let's confidently be that. Let's be that loudly.
Mm.
Let's be that unapologetically. Let's just be that more. Increase the saturation.
Guys, what can I say? The episode today, it's giving alignment. Alignment is what
it is. But yeah, I feel excited about it. I'm not doing much for my birthday, but May is genuinely my favorite month anyway.
There you go.
Now, if you can hear the raindrops outside, it's April.
Yeah.
So that's got nothing to do with me.
That's screaming.
But May, it tends to be good.
May.
Spring
May.
Baby.
Spring
I feel
babies.
Like I give that energy as well.
And also shout out to all the sisters with birthdays in May, especially those that share a birthday with my lovely
especially
sister
May
here.
The 4th, because it seems as though
May the 4th be
with me.
Yeah.
As soon as it hits May the 4th, everyone is coming out. It's my birthday. Yeah, it's my mom's birthday. Oh my, it's my brother's birthday.
Quite
it's
literally.
My birthday. I have like 6 people I
quite
know
literally.
Whose birthday is also on
quite
May
literally.
The 4th. So it's quite interesting.
It's giving conspiracy theory.
It's quite interesting. But I love it. It's just such a perfect day.
Everybody's parents getting busy around the same time. Oh my gosh.
When the kids started going to school.
Hello, they said,
the parents said,
it's
time to close the door.
Get busy.
Close the door.
But yeah, if you are listening to this, watch out for Courtney's birthday post. No pressure. But if you also want to gift Courtney with a little something, something,
oh my gosh.
A quick snack. Well, not just a quick snack. If you want to do quick cash, we are also taking proceeds towards the fund of Courtney. If you want to be a supporter and to plow and sow into her life, no, because this is a ministry. If you want to
donate the money to the children,
yeah, do that too. But if you want to sew, that's true.
Oh my gosh, no. Yeah, if you actually want to give me a birthday gift, I'll leave the link down below for you to donate to the Bright Future Academy. Help
go.
Us finish the school.
There you go. Donate £27 for 27.
There we
How
go.
About that?
£27 for 27 to BFA.
But also, if you want to gift anything directly, we can handle that. Just, I will give you some things to deal with that. But a happy birthday in
thank
advance.
You,
I
thank
cannot
you,
wait to
you,
celebrate you.
You
and apps, not embarrassed.
Ooh.
Because you know people like, oh, I'm ready. They'll bring out archival footage and whatnot. No, well. No. I cannot wait to celebrate you in May. And I cannot wait to celebrate your 20. The beginning of what feels like the golden years of CDB. Established.
Thank you, friend. That means a lot.
But yeah. Come and say happy birthday to Courtney when the time is right. It's coming up, so don't miss it.
The 4th of May.
But I believe that's all the housekeeping announcements.
I believe so.
But unfortunately, there are houses that are not quite swept.
Let's help them out.
Thus, we must do a sweeping. It is time for a ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
Hi, sisters.
Hey, sweetheart.
So about a year ago, I broke up with one of my best/oldest friends. My relationship with this friend, let's call her Lisa. Love that. Was one that I gave a lot of energy to, but in the years leading up to the breakup, I felt that Lisa did not actually have time to be my friend. Now, Lisa and I came from different economic backgrounds, so I knew that much of her time had to be dedicated to working to pay for her school and support her family, which is why she was often too busy to see me. I always understood this, but I figured that if I ever really needed her, she would make the time for me like I had seen her do for her other passions. However, the breakup happened after I had a depressive episode. I convinced myself that I was a burden to everyone in my life and that my friends were all going to leave me anyway, so I should leave them first. I left the group chat that we were all in suddenly, and I wasn't replying to phone calls. I now know that the depressive version of me was being irrational, but what really hurt me was her response. At the time, we both lived on the same college campus. She knew people in my building and exactly where I stayed. Yet she did not come to check on me, which I would have done in a heartbeat if the roles were reversed. She actually even blocked me on social media when she realized I had hidden my Instagram story from everyone in the group. We eventually did meet up to talk, where I expressed how I had been feeling and formally stated that I did not want to be friends anymore. I explained how the one time I really needed her, she chose not to be there for me, and that it was almost as if she was mad that I had needs and was unwilling to step up to meet them. She said that this wasn't the end for us and that she wanted to start over. Fast forward to a year later, and we still haven't really spoken directly. We still see ourselves since we share the same friends and our families attend the same church, but I haven't seen any effort on her part to rebuild our friendship. I really miss her, and it's awkward when we're in a room together. I would love for us to be friends again, but I am hesitant because I still don't think Lisa has enough time in her life for me. For this reason, I have been afraid to make the first step, but I fear that if I don't, she never will. Please help. With love, from Texas.
Hey, sis. Thank you for the dilemma. This is a bit complicated because I don't necessarily think she's in the wrong. I feel like, and this could be me misunderstanding the dilemma, so we can clarify a few things. But it's very understandable that when you're going through something, like, you can ice everybody out, but still have that desire for people to be there for you. But everyone reacts to people icing them out in a very different way. Some people may interpret that as, okay, you need space, I'm going to back off completely.
Right.
Some people are a bit more, you know, not invasive in a negative way, but like, they will keep pressing that button and being like, you know, I want to be there. I want to be present. And I think it's valid that she didn't show up for you the way you wanted her to. However, from what you described, it didn't seem very clear how you wanted her to show up for you, number one. Number two, I do really respect that she apologized for not showing up in the way that you wanted her to. And I think you are the one who ended the friendship. Like, you initiated the end of this friendship. And so I think the onus of getting the friendship back is on you. I think if your concern is, does she have enough time for me? Which is a very valid one, right? I think it's worth verbalizing that, though, that, like, this is actually what my expectations are. And I think a lot of us end up disappointed because our expectations are never expressed. And so you need to express what your expectations were in that season, what your expectations are for this season of your life, and really give her the chance to say whether she can meet them or not. And if she can, then you can hold her to something. If she can't, then you can also respect that fact she's been honest with you. It sounds like she's actually tried, even in the ending of the friendship or that last meeting that you had. It was like, okay, I'm sorry, can we do this again? And you were kind of like, no, you know. And I think I get that when we are in dark places, we can do things that are somewhat out of character, but feel in the moment like the right thing to do. Yeah. And of course, you are in that moment thinking about yourself, your happiness and stuff like that. But actions actually have consequences. Mm. And so if you've iced out your friends and they feel like there's a chapter of your life they've completely missed, of course, when they come back into it, things are going to be a little bit awkward.
Yeah.
And I think that's something we have to take on ourselves as well, and remember when we are making those choices. Yep. Not to say that we owe anybody anything, but like I said, actions just have consequences. Yep. And so I'm not saying that you were wrong in the way you dealt with this, but I would say in the recovery of the friendship, if it is possible, it is on you to initiate, because it sounds like she tried and it wasn't reciprocated by you. You kind of were like, no, you did me wrong. And this is me, I might have misunderstood this situation, but like, it sounds like she had tried and you said no. And I think when somebody rejects your apology or rejects you a second time, almost, because when you were going through that dark season, it was almost like a rejection of her friendship as well. When someone rejects you a second time, it's just kind of like, okay, maybe you just don't want to be my friend. Maybe my friendship is just not good enough. Yeah. So right now it does sound like there's just a lot of miscommunication. And I think that's where relationships often die, because we aren't doing the really hard thing of like fleshing out, what do you mean by this? Why did you act like this? And it's rarely that anybody's heart is in a malicious place. Mm. It's usually just because we're trying to all assume, you know, do you need space? I don't know. When you said you didn't want to talk to anyone, did you really mean that? Like, it's just a lot of these blurred lines and crossed wires that cause friendships to come to an end.
Yeah.
So I do think it's worth you being vulnerable to some degree, or to even to a large extent, and just being like, you know what, this is what I was going through in that season. This is how I handled this season, or this is how I handled the end of the friendship and why I made those choices and said those things. But these are also my present feelings. I miss you, and I really do want us to be friends again. Yeah. And like, let's actually talk out, what does friendship look like between the both of us? So that's what I would say. If you want it, you're gonna have to initiate. And I would definitely say, like, don't let previous shame or like, you know, I'm going back, it feels like I'm kind of groveling. Like, no, if you really, really desire for this to be your friend, then you have to be vulnerable and you have to be humble. Yeah. And I'm sure she will approach you with the same thing, because I'm sure she's also not very happy about maybe all of the choices she made either. So yeah, kiss and make up, man. Yeah, but talk it out. Don't act like this never happened. Don't just brush it under the rug, because then things will be even more awkward. But really, like, just talk it out, talk it through. That's what I'd say.
No, I love that. Literally, I had the exact same like thought process when I saw this dilemma. I think it's one of those ones, sis, where as much as we can empathize that you were going through a tough time, I do love what you were saying about the fact that actions can have consequences. And I think sometimes in that like dark period of our lives, we can want one thing, but then display something completely opposite. It sounds like you expected and you wanted your friends to reach out to you during this time, but the signals that you were sending was very much standoffish. I don't really want to be friends with you guys anymore. And I think you do have to account for the fact that that would likely have been extremely hurtful, right? To just terminate the friendship and kind of take a step back immediately. Of course, again, you were kind of going through the motions and actually going through something that was quite traumatic and upsetting and quite isolating. But I do think that terminating those friendships on that term in particular is quite hurtful. And can leave people feeling quite helpless. And I think sometimes, as much as we would like for our friends to react in a way that is empathetic to our situation, or in a way that we think that we would show up, people are different. And people are, you know, dealing with their own things as well. So from their perspective, I would definitely encourage you to really see it from her perspective. Having faced, as Courtney was saying, this rejection, this deep rejection of friendship, it can be really difficult to overcome. And I think, considering you were the one to terminate the friendship, I think it's actually important for you to reach out first, because I can imagine on her end, she's probably thinking, does she actually want to be friends with me? And I think, because quite a lot of the breakdown of the friendship can be attributed to some of your actions, I think the onus is on you to at least, you know, give some kind of sign of peace or some kind of peace treaty and be like, hey sis, let's actually sit down, and then use that as an opportunity to vocalize where you feel like you would like to have your friends kind of turn up for you, or the kind of expectations that you may have, and also give her an opportunity to vocalize her thoughts too. I can imagine, as much as it's painful for your friend to block you, seeing it from her perspective, where you find out that this person has just immediately withdrawn, but then also intentionally hidden stories or intentionally withdrawn, I can imagine that equally she must have been like, ah, I'm taking my hands off the pedal here. I can't continue to pursue somebody that is exhibiting signs of not being interested or not wanting to pursue the relationship. So I think grace is needed for both of you, but I do think that at least taking that first step and showing and giving a clear sign that you're interested in this friendship continuing might be what you guys actually need to move forward and have those conversations and then move forward with that friendship. Because it does sound like things ended quite abruptly, and it also ended on quite negative terms, but enough positive terms that at least you guys are in rooms together where you're awkward. It could be that you're in rooms together and you're looking at this person like, this is my mortal enemy, or like vice versa. So it sounds like from what you described in your dilemma, there is some kind of opportunity for restoration and some opportunity to just come back together and reconcile. I think make the first step, see what she says. It might be a, hey, let's go for a coffee. I really want to touch base on the way things were left between us with no expectations as well. I think it's really important. Sometimes we can be so excited about the prospect of mending a relationship that we dive headfirst. Just a conversation. Hey, I want to talk to you about the way things left off. I also feel like, in terms of giving you an explanation as to what happened with me and how this broke down, and then potentially how can we, if you're interested, because that also, you know, is within her prerogative to deny at this point. If she's interested in maybe starting again, and it sounds like from the dilemma that you stated that she is interested, then take the steps from there. But I think it's worth having a conversation face to face in person where you guys just lay it all out. Yeah. I think you also have the benefit of distance as well. The fact that it's been a year, so she's probably had time to reflect on her actions. You've definitely exhibited that you've had time to reflect on your actions, and you know you can articulate where you went wrong too. And I think that's super important. So I think schedule the face to face, lay out your heart on the table and say, sis, I want to mend this relationship. Yeah. I'm sorry for where I may have fallen down. These were the places that I really wanted you to show up for me. How can we move forward?
That's good.
But yeah, take the pressure off. I know it's hard, especially when it's a friend and you really want that relationship back. Oh, friendship breakups are hard, man. Mm-hmm. People don't be talking about them enough. Well, we do, because, you know, we're the friendship podcast. But we are sending you both our prayers, more grace and more grease to both of your elbows. We pray that this would be an opportunity for you guys to mend your relationship, and that she would be receptive to at least hearing you out.
For sure.
Ooh, friendship breakup, Sha.
It's tough. It is really tough. But thank you for sending in your dilemma, honestly. Let us know how things go. And honestly, we are praying for all of the best for you both.
Yeah.
If you would like to send us a dilemma, you already know. Dilemmas@twomysisters.com. Send us an email. Keep it short and sweet.
Short and sweet, baby.
We try.
150 characters if you can.
No. Maybe 150 words.
Okay, fine. I can coalesce to that. But moving on to the meat and bones the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to have a chit chat with you, CDB, about existing loudly. And I think, again, perfect timing for both of us, where we're currently in the season of really trying to intentionally become that woman that we want to be, or that we believe that we've been called to be, and intentionally taking steps towards existing loudly, not just, you know, in platforms, but also in the communities that we are present in real life. Because I think sometimes we hear existing loudly and we think about existing loudly to the world on like social media, online platforms, all that kind of stuff. So I actually wanted to start the conversation with hearing more about your story with existing and existing loudly. And I think I also wanted to ask, in terms of the discouragement piece, right? Because I think sometimes one of the biggest areas that a lot of women deal with is having people that are close to them that can be quite discouraging. So I actually wanted to start with your journey Experiencing potential discouragement from people that may be around you in close proximity to you, and how that may have impacted your capacity to show up well for yourself in the different spaces that you inhabit.
Okay. So I think for me, obviously I exist as a person. So it's more so about like you said, not just existing loudly, but also existing comfortably.
Right.
Like, do I feel like I am comfortable in the person I am, comfortable in my skin, comfortable in the spaces I have found myself in? Oh, that rhymed. But I think, but I think what can be challenging about that sometimes, like you said, are the external factors, the things that you pick up over time as you age and you get, you know, from girlhood into adulthood, and you realize like, oh, some spaces are accepting of you, some spaces are not. Some people think that you exist and your meaning is this, and some people think the opposite. So it's just like, okay, so who am I? And I think standing in the middle of that, I've realized that like, it's really for you to decide that for yourself. And oftentimes, yes, everybody has their own opinions, but what actually limits us is the internalization of those opinions, and not kind of, you know, externalizing them early enough and quick enough. And I think in a world which has so many opinions about being a black woman, being a dark skinned woman, being a plus size woman, being, you know, different from the beauty standard, being loud, being everything that kind of is characterized as not feminine in some ways, you kind of have to decide, what am I going to accept and what am I going to reject? And I think in my own life, I've realized like, you get to decide what it means to exist as Courtney. You get to decide whether you're going to believe in what God says about you or what the world says about you.
Yeah.
You get to decide whether you feel or you allow yourself to experience joy. No one can take that from you. And you shouldn't allow anyone to have that much power to kind of tell you that your existence should be void of joy.
Yeah.
And like you really saturating what the world and soaking up, sorry, what the world has to offer. And I think that's where I'm at right now in my life, where it's like, no one can actually strip that away from me. Like my life is mine. It's mine to experience. And if I don't experience it to the fullest, I actually have no one else to blame but myself, right? I have allowed people to rob me of the joy that comes from big moments, small moments, but above it all, just existing and just being me. And I think I'm starting to realize that like, I have a lot to offer. I have a lot. I am extremely valuable, far past just my accomplishments and my capabilities, but just as a person, you know, I am worthy of being loved. I am worthy of all of these things because it's already been given to me. So I can soak it up. Like I can actually soak up the love that's in my life. I can soak up the love that comes from God. I can soak up the appreciation and just the nice things that I have in the most simplest ways. I can take that. No one can take that away from me. So I think I've been, that's been making me confident as well. But it's also been forcing me to get out of my own head. I wouldn't say I have experienced like face-to-face discouragement. When I was younger, I was bullied. And then I think starting social media quite early, everyone feels like they have an opinion about who you are and how they think, you know, how confident they think you should be is what I'm trying to say. And I've realized for myself that actually no one else's voice really matters. Like no one else's voice in my life matters as much as God's voice and my own. That's actually it. And the voices that I've allowed to be amplified are really encouraging voices. And I think that's one of the core things about community, that you have to realize you allow these people's voices to be louder than the rest, even if it's not the voice of the masses. And I haven't had like an overwhelming amount of hatred at all. This is not what I'm trying to describe, but like, it's easy to allow even one person who's say a naysayer or a hater or whatever, that voice to become so loud, that to become the defining memory of that moment, when actually there are so many other collective voices which are louder, but also there are voices that hold more weight and therefore have more value, volume in your life and value in your life, which you should be taking heed of more often. I think those are the voices that empower me to be more confident. But you have to be so wise in choosing those voices in your life, because words can shatter you.
Yeah.
And I think anyone around you, literally, in depending on how sensitive or pivotal that moment is in your life, whether it's at, you know, the brink of a success or the end of a failure, whatever it is, anything anyone can say can shape the next decade of your life.
Yeah.
If it takes an anchor in your heart.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm noticing about myself. It's the small things that take anchor in my heart and become that little rudder on the ship that determines what direction we're now going to go in for the next couple of months or couple of days, whether it's in changing my mood or in changing my beliefs or my determinations. Like, that's what has happened throughout my life. I've noticed that, like, it's the small things that make the biggest difference. And so I've been so careful in surrounding myself with people who are also cautious about what they say and the small things that they say and the way they react to certain things. And it's not in a self-conscious, like, overly critical, oh my gosh, I need to pay attention to every micro movement I make, but more so it's innate to them to be celebratory. It's innate to them to be empowering and encouraging and loving and nurturing, but also to correct with love and to correct with grace and to let you know where you went wrong, but also let you know that they're there to help you get it right. It's just been a really intentional journey of being like, you know what, Courtney, not only do you exist, but you exist in the company of people who appreciate your existence. And that allows you to not only be but to actually flourish. But then it's also the third angle to that is I then have to be careful of my own heart and my own mind that it isn't attracted to these negative things and it isn't given too much weight to those negative things and it isn't suspicious. And I think this is why I talk a lot about things like, you know, yes, whilst you should have discernment, don't allow the enemy to kind of pervert that into suspicion, because then you never believe people.
Even when they tell you
the good things, you never believe them. And I think it's also been about fighting that as well, like, oh, of course you would say that because of it. And it's like, no, they're giving you something that is authentic and that is true and that is a deep level of self-criticism or self-critiquing and being hypercritical of oneself to constantly interrogate or discredit when people are telling you something positive. And it's just like, no, accept it, accept the compliment, accept the celebration, accept the success, like, stop trying to repel all these good things off of you because you don't believe that you're good enough or you don't believe that it can be true because it's actually happening. And so it's also been investigating my own mind and investigating my own heart and allowing myself to keep those things pure so that it's like, you know what, no, I believe the people in my life when they say they love me, or I believe in what it is that I am doing and its value, or I believe in my skill, or I believe in God's truth. And all of that has allowed me to now really be comfortable in my existence and also feel a lot more free. Yeah, just feel a lot more free, whether it's having escaped the prison of my own mind or the prison of people's opinions or the prison of even failure. And like you were saying, like, deep feelings of shame and embarrassment. So yeah, it's been about freedom for me. How about you?
I love that. No, honestly, resonates so much with so much of what you said. I think for me, understanding, like, my journey has been underpinned by understanding the difference between intrinsic value and works-based value. And I think for a long time in my life, especially growing up, it was so easy to attribute value to how much I can work or how much I can achieve or how much I can be outside and kind of seen as somebody that is worthy or valuable. And it made it very difficult to then step off the podium because it felt like my value was determined by how much I could be celebrated or how much I could be looked at as someone that did cool stuff or, like, exciting or incredible stuff. And divorcing myself from having to constantly work for approval and work for value and work to actually exist meant that I could exist, as you were saying, comfortably. Like, I don't have to constantly be thinking about what's my next move so that I could feel worthy of my own existence. I think making peace with the fact that I'm a human being cliche as heck, mm-hmm. but being comfortable with actually just being without having to produce was probably my first biggest hurdle.
Yeah.
I think especially because growing up likewise was similarly bullied. When you are young and impressionable, and that's also why like I'm particularly passionate about women in general and this stuff that we are doing with like TMS and intentionally speaking words of life into women is so important, especially young women,
yeah.
because so much of our worlds can be shaped by, as you so rightly said, the one bad seed or the one word. Like literally one word is enough to change your whole yeah. mood. It's enough to level your whole belief system. It's enough to really make you start doubting yourself. And even at this particular age where I've definitely made so much leaps and bounds in terms of where my value comes from, in terms of how I think of myself and what yeah. I believe in myself, it will take a couple of words to just sow the seed of doubt in my mind. And that's somebody that's actively been trying to do a lot of work over the past few years to really undo what has been persistent words or like persistent attacks on my sense of self-esteem and self-worth. And that's even now. So even thinking back, literally one thing and I would be like for the rest of the week, just yeah. completely down. Yeah. So really sitting with myself and starting to create an idea of myself, understanding who God sees me as, understanding the intrinsic value that I have and sitting with yeah. that. Even in the moments where I'm not producing something, it's really understanding that I can be valuable and I can exist just as loudly without doing anything as when I am doing something. So that's probably been one of the biggest hurdles that I faced, that intrinsic versus works-based value. And then really trying to be somebody that enjoys and is allowed to enjoy things as well. I think sometimes, again, thinking about like how much we can often attribute our life to works when we are doing things that aren't around work or yeah. aren't around achievements or aren't around what society has deemed or even family or culture has yeah. deemed as socially acceptable, yeah. valuable. It feels like an almost unworthy pursuit. And I think for me, again, doing things that I actually enjoy and being happy about doing things that I enjoy without thinking about, oh, am I valuable because of this? Or yeah. is my existence contingent on how much I can show up in these particular spaces? So actually just doing that.
Yeah.
And then also just being like extremely confident in myself. Like not that I'm arrogant or thinking that I will always get something right. I think even dealing with the fact that I am human and that I have flaws has been so freeing. There's so much liberation in understanding that existing means that you will inevitably make mistakes, but actually being comfortable with the fact that I will make mistakes. Yeah. And as somebody that is still a recovering perfectionist, as somebody that is still journeying with, you know, God and understanding that I am not being called to simply just be perfect. Like I'm, of course, we are striving towards perfection, but I will inevitably get things wrong and allowing myself to
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Just as loudly as the perfectionist Renee, as the flawed Renee. Yeah. And it almost feels like as I get older and older, I realize just how imperfect I am as a human being
yeah.
and actually being comfortable with the fact that I am imperfect.
Absolutely.
I think there's even that narrative of the older you get, the better you get, the more mature you get. And that's true to an extent, but it also makes me think of that old adage of the person that is truly wise understands that there is so much more to know. And I think being comfortable with the fact that I will not ever know everything. Yeah. And that this is a learning curve, that this is a journey, and that I can exist as somebody who journeys and not just exist as someone who is an expert or somebody who has reached the top of their game has been so liberating. Mm. Child, I don't have the answers, Sway.
Yeah.
I don't have the answers. So yeah, that's definitely been so pivotal and so important in navigating this, like, this whole journey of existing loudly, giving myself permission to make mistakes, because inevitably I will make mistakes and that's just life. But thinking about what you were saying actually around, we can almost make the choice between what kind of words we sow into our heart and, you know, what kind of person we want to be and how we want to see ourselves. I actually wanted to talk a little bit on how our experiences and trauma can make it difficult for us to make that choice, right? So many of us have gone through really difficult times where we have been almost overwhelmed by how much our experiences or the people around us have sown a word of discontent. They have sown hatred into our hearts. They have made it difficult for us to build up our self-esteem, or they've made it difficult for us to feel comfortable to exist loudly. How do we go on that journey of rejecting the negative talk, or rejecting what feels like sometimes an overwhelming cloud of bad seeds in our hearts that is now shaping our self-perception?
I think reducing the voice and the volume of that inner critic is really, really hard, depending on how long you've allowed it to be the dominating voice in your mind. So I think the earlier you catch it, the better. I think in terms of untraining yourself, though, you have to kind of train yourself to speak to yourself, and as in your inner monologue, in a different way. So being a lot more caring and advocating for yourself, a bit more nurturing yourself, giving yourself the grace that you would want to receive from other people. I think we are our biggest critics. And if you are extremely hypercritical, you tend towards being hypercritical of yourself. It's really important to lean somewhat heavily into the opposite direction, as foreign as it may feel. And so allowing yourself to speak to yourself in a more tender way, kind of discovering what would a more nurturing response to this situation be, and catching yourself when you say the things that so casually slip out, like, oh, you're so dumb, or oh, you're like, that's, you're an idiot. Like, I've really been so particular about those statements I say about myself, because it really shows where your heart stands about yourself. If I wouldn't talk to someone like that, if I wouldn't talk to my sister like that, if I wouldn't talk to anyone in front of me in that way because of a small mistake, why would I speak to myself like that? And we think it's such a flippant thing, but actually it's kind of like, out of your mouth flows it, like what's in your heart. And so now you really see where you stand with yourself, how maybe you don't think you're an idiot, you don't think you're dumb, but you do have a very short amount of patience for yourself. You do have a very small amount of grace for yourself. And it's like, why? Because like you said, you have these unrealistic expectations that you should be perfect, when actually nobody is requiring that level of perfection from you. Nobody is requiring for you never to make a mistake. So where did you learn to require that for yourself? And I think it does, for me anyway, go back down to those childhood experiences of to make a mistake could end up being a life-threatening or like joy-threatening situation in a moment, you know, depending on how you were disciplined as a child, or how people reacted to your small mistakes that you made as you were exploring the world and trying to determine how to navigate through life, from learning to walk to learning, you know, what it meant to get burnt by fire. Like, it depending on people's reaction to that, you then learn how much leeway and patience there was for you. And I think we then learn to have that small amount or marginal amount of patience for ourselves, or large amount of patience for ourselves. And so I think for a lot of us growing up with maybe parents that had a short fuse, or out of their own fears, wanted to kind of keep us on the right track to the point where the restraints put on us were quite tight, you may now have put such a tight restraint on yourself for your own exploration and your own mistakes, because mistakes are inevitable when it comes to exploring and trying. And I think a lot of us don't want to try now, because it's like, we think we have marginal room for error. And we also think that once we fail, if we fail, the consequences are like all the way up here, when actually it's not. Like, it's actually not a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, that didn't go well. Cool, next one. Move, you know, on. But a lot of us weren't trained with that kind of response to failure. A lot of our the way we learned to navigate failure was that, you know, not only have you failed, you are a failure. It became a label and not just an experience, right? And so I think we have to be careful about the things that we allow to label us and how we allow these things to be a title we carry for the rest of our lives. And I think that's, for me, how like my early childhood experiences have shaped my relationship with things like shame and embarrassment. And like, it really does come from a really deep place, which I think I'm still really healing as I get older. Like, I feel as though my existence within the world very much surrounds this feeling of like shame and embarrassment. Yeah. And it's something that maybe I'll talk about one day once I'm like fully over it. But I think it's, and I've processed it more with my therapist, but like, it's very, it can run so deep that you start to wonder, like, will I ever be free from this sense of like, can I ever truly be proud of myself? Mm. Is there always something I'm thinking I need to do to prove myself more? Is there always something better than me? Do I feel like I'm never enough to just be wanted in my fullness, both the good and the bad? And that can mark you for the rest of your life if you don't draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going to deal with this. Yeah. Not necessarily that it will go away forever. Whether it be, you know, the memory of the abuse, the trauma, the words that were said to you, whatever, they might not go away forever, but at least you can almost dethrone them. That's the only word that comes to my mind. It's like, it's not just about taking it away, it's about not making it sit on the throne of your heart and make it the defining crown of your life. Like, this crown says shame or embarrassment or this is who I am or failure. And I think a lot of us make failure or shame or these really negative feelings which humans feel as a part of the human experience just way too big. And not just big, but like, we give them so much authority over our lives to like govern where we go, what we do. And so many of us are like paralyzed by fear. Literally. And we've allowed it to like hold us. And it's like, but it's up to you to minimize it and realize that this fear thing, which, you know, is a human instinct, to some degree can just become a monster that rules over you, and it shouldn't. And I think I really hold on to the fact that things like love, things like, you know, having peace, things like having a sound mind and being able to control my own spirit, control my own body, reminding myself that no, I have authority over me. And so if there is a part of me that desires for this or to do this in the best way, obviously to do the things that are like my dreams and my calling and all these cool things, which I feel like God has put on my heart, I am the authority in my life to be able to push myself and allow myself to really lay hold of those opportunities. And this thing called fear or this thing called embarrassment or this thing called shame is not my Lord. It's not the one who sits over the throne of my heart making commands about what I can do and what I cannot do. I am. And the I that I'm speaking of is the most empowered version of me, the one who really knows who I truly am and what I can truly be, and who is actually rooting for me, which goes back to that first point of like, you need to develop an internal voice. That advocates for you, that actually wants to see you succeed, that is actually rooting for you, that actually has a bit of hope and a bit of faith that you can be what you dream of. And even if right now it's like a small little mousy voice of like, well, but what if you just tried? Do you get what? What if you just gave it a go? Do you get what I mean? Give it the mic. Like, let it get amped up a little bit, you know, and just be like, you know what? No, you're right. Like, what if I did try? And what if I did keep going? And like, I think that is a case of constant practice. You just have to keep practicing. You have to catch yourself when the bad thing comes out, and you need to make a conscious choice. It may feel awkward, it may feel weird, but make a conscious choice to be like, no, I'm not an idiot. I made a mistake and I'm going to show myself patience.
You know what it and reminds you move me on from of? That. It really reminds me of when people say arrest the thoughts.
Yeah, like, literally. And that's put literally the essence of like, take every thought captive, you know, take every thought captive and make it subject. Yeah. And I think sometimes we forget about that. Like, it's like, okay, you've caught the thought, but now you've got to bring the thought down.
Bring it down.
Because thoughts exalt themselves. Yeah. They really, like, and we exalt thoughts. Yeah, you know, exactly. we think, oh, this is the truth. And it's like, no, take every thought captive and make it subject to Christ. Now, this could become a sermon very quickly.
I'm screaming.
But as in Christ, make it subject to the truth, right? And so the truth is not necessarily, every thought is not the truth. It may feel true,
but it is not the truth.
Yeah. And so now you have to decide, and in our case, like, Christ is our reality, you have to make that thought subject to the truth, as in the objective. This is what I've chosen to be the truth of my life, and this is what I've chosen to believe. And so it then becomes a case of beliefs, not just religious beliefs, but genuine self-beliefs around who am I, what am I capable of, and what am I truly worth. And that's what you need to work on, because then when the thoughts come that are opposed, which it inevitably will, that's what you make it subject to. Something you make a subject. It's not that they don't exist, it's just that they have to bow to the real thing. They have to bow to the real truth, the real one that is in charge, the actual, you know, thing that should be sitting on the throne of your heart, which is the truth, right? So you have to decide what the truth is. And for us, you know, it's Jesus.
Jesus Christ, if you didn't know.
And not just Jesus as in the person, but also like the words that and the beliefs and the empowerment that comes with that, right?
No, completely agree. I think there is something, I love what you were saying about authority.
Yeah.
Because that in essence is something that I think quite a lot of us, especially as women, struggle with just in general. Yeah. What are we allowing to be the authority over our lives? And I think sometimes, as you were saying, the thought can pop up, or the beliefs that we have about ourselves or the systems or whatever can pop up, and we think immediately that this is true. But really and truly, I think the journey to self-esteem is a fight. It's a battle. You actually need to contend for your health and happiness and your well-being.
Yeah.
You have to fight for these things. So sometimes it looks like, okay, I'm going to subject, this thought pops up, okay, we're suppressing it. But sometimes it looks like this thought pops up and I actually have to fight it. And I think, at least for me, there have been some times where I've actually had to fight myself. Obviously, not literally physically, I'm rolling around on the floor. Some of you, if you need to do that, Shai, it's better you do that and win than to allow this thought take you captive. Yeah. But it is realizing that at the end of the day, I do have authority over my thoughts, and I can choose what I want to believe
in.
And I won't allow this thought to now become my label. And that's where I think a lot of us as women need to realize we are authoritative figures. We actually have the power to say, no, I don't believe this about myself. And sometimes it's a thought that comes from you, and sometimes it's a thought that comes from somebody else, right? Because there's so many people, like, don't want to speak too ill of people, but in the same way that, like, a thought can pop up from yourself, the enemy can also use another person to plant a thought. In fact, most of the times, a thought comes from another person, but we've allowed it to take root in our own hearts. Sometimes we even have to say no and stop another person in their tracks before they start planting that seed of doubt in our heart. So getting used to this idea, getting used to this action, this choice of holding thoughts captive, of holding things that are intended to ensnare us and make us lower than, is important. I think sometimes social media can be the easiest way to demonstrate this, right? A lot of folks that kind of listen to our podcast, a lot of folks that we engage with, have this fear of being seen publicly, right? Sharing content, or, you know, pivoting into a particular role, or just doing something that they feel that they've been called to do, because they have this thought or this idea that they won't be accepted by other people. And sometimes it may even be validated by some of the people, you know, outside in their, like, spaces or whatnot. Choose to hold the thoughts captive. Think, what if? Like, genuinely think, what if? And challenge the thought. I think getting into the space of challenging your thoughts as well, like, where did this thought originate from as well, can be one of the biggest weapons of warfare that you can pick up when it comes to building up your self-esteem. Where did this thought come from? Did it actually come from me? If it came from me, okay, we need to do some deep work. But if it came from somebody else and it's something that I don't want to accept about myself, I need to uproot that truth and reject it.
Facts.
I think it's taking back that power of rejection. Yeah. In this instance, sometimes it can be more powerful to reject something else that somebody has spoken over you. Yeah. So I think for a lot of women, taking that power back of rejecting things, yeah, rejecting thoughts, rejecting, especially as we're often painted as people that receive, right? Women are massive receivers. Yeah. Stop receiving things that are not for you. Facts. Reject them. Stop Facts. Them in their tracks. Tell them no. Listen, there have been some people in my life where I've actually had to say no.
Yeah.
Sorry, no. I don't want to believe that about myself. I don't think that was adequate nor accurate reflection of who I am as a person. Yeah. So I am choosing to just say no and move on with this. Yeah. And I think more of us really should take that executive presence, stand on business and yeah, say no. Yeah. I refuse to believe this about myself.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not by force.
Yeah. It's true.
It's not by force. And it's such a shame because I think so many of us, like, we balk at that power, right? We just withdraw. Mm. And I've definitely been a victim of the kind of person that kind of just withdraws as soon as I've heard something. Nah, man, prepare to battle. Be a frontline soldier. You know what? Sometimes us rejecting this frontline soldier and behavior, sometimes you actually need to stand at the front line to guard your own heart and guard Absolutely. Your own self-esteem.
That's good.
It's you that needs to be the first warrior in line.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're contending for your health, happiness, and yeah, your peace. Stand at the front line and stand on business. Yeah, like,
I think the truth of the matter is no one else is going to go to war for you.
Facts.
And when it comes to warfare over your mind, warfare over your heart, it's for you to do the fighting. No one else will pick the weapons up for you. No Facts. One will do that. Like, that's why in the Bible it talks about no greater love has right. there been that somebody would lay their life down for their friend, because right. no one's running to do that for
Hello.
You. Do you get what I mean? And that kind of laying your life down is... it's really tough. No one's going to make that choice for you. You have to be the one to do the fighting. You have to do the one. You have to be the one doing the advocating. Mm-hmm. You have mm-hmm. to be the one standing up for yourself. And I think a lot of us think other people's voices have more authority in our lives than our own.
Yep.
No, you have authority in your life to declare things, to agree with certain things. And I think yeah. even if you're not the most confrontational person, it's even in the subtle ways of just not coming into agreement with what people say that you don't want for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, especially when, and this is where projection comes into it, they're talking about their own experiences
oh,
and
man.
Then you adopt it as your own.
Because
the thing
one.
Is, not everyone is speaking into your life, but what they are saying is their experience is the common experience.
Real
and so
rap.
It'll be your experience. It doesn't have to be my experience. And so
whilst
I appreciate that your experience is valid, that is your experience.
Hello.
And so mine does not have to be the same.
Yeah.
And so you have the authority to determine what you come into agreement with and what you don't.
Yeah.
But just because someone who you really love, you really respect, or even if you don't, has said something, doesn't mean it has to become your truth,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't need to become the objective truth either. It is their experience and we thank God for their story, but it
Hello.
Doesn't have to be yours. So I think it's also paying attention to those little things you mm-hmm. internalize mm-hmm. and come into agreement. Oh, it was hard for them to It'll be hard for me. It doesn't have to be.
No.
It took long for them, so it'll take long for me. It doesn't have to.
That's the biggest one.
It actually doesn't. I don't have to believe that this is an objective reality. Whilst it is their experience, I don't have to have that struggle. And that's a matter of your choice.
There you go. And the subtlety of that, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's the small thing. It's the, that's so true. It doesn't have to become true for me, though. And the thing is, you don't have to say things like this out loud, because that's where people become spooky. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
not
no.
spooky.
But I don't have to come into agreement with what it is you are saying as an objective truth,
because
that's not what I want for myself.
Yeah.
It's actually so funny. It's funny because this week I've been talking to people a lot about like childbirth, getting pregnant, pregnancy, all of these things. Please don't read into that. I'm just a very fascinated person about certain things.
Before you put out on the airwaves that baby CDB is on route.
It's coming. But yeah, we've just been talking about it. And you know when certain topics just keep popping up and you're like, okay, let me kind of just talk into this. What is this all about?
Yeah.
And I think even with conversations around like Black maternal health or fertility or just everyone's unique experience, because childbirth really is a miracle.
Yeah, it is.
Pregnancy really is a miracle. You find that people will want to dictate to you how your experience should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I'm not one of those like hooky pooky, statistics don't matter, because there are real things we need to fight for.
100%.
And these things are what increases what we're fighting against, right? Fighting against health systems, fighting against government. governments, fighting against personal experiences and even cultural practices. Like, you're constantly finding yourself at war. However, you don't have to accept that something is going to be your given reality just because it's been someone else's experience. And I think it's been really nice to practice being an adult and being your own person, or for me anyway, by being like, you know what, I really love your experience, and then going and praying and being like, that cannot be that cannot be me. Or even having the freedom to converse, because I think it's nice when you also meet women who, whilst they may have different opinions to you, they also stand within their authority to believe what they believe. So you'll be having conversations and it's like, I really love that we can have differing opinions, you know, I really like it.
Even take that phrasing, I love that you have such a strong opinion on
this. And I love that you have decided that for yourself.
I respectfully disagree.
Do you get what I mean? And I don't even have to say that because it's not a matter of us agreeing or disagreeing actually doesn't do anything for anybody. It's actually just fine for us to coexist. But also, I don't have to necessarily just come into agreement, even in a subtle way, and internalize that, oh, this is going to be my reality. Exactly. Or this is what I should also want for my life. And that could be relevant to any kind of conversation around anything to do with adulthood and womanhood and stuff like that. So I think what I'm just coming to the realization of is my opinion matters just as much as my mother's, as my auntie's, as my sister's. My opinion actually matters about my life.
And heavy emphasis on the my life. The life that you are living right now is your life. You have the authority to decide what you do with your life.
Facts.
And you should feel comfortable dictating how you are going to spend your life. Because at the end of the day, when the day ends, it's your life.
It's your life.
And nobody else will be held accountable to your decisions apart from you.
Facts.
So listen, people can pressure you. People can speak words into your life. People can do all sorts of things. Those people are going to disappear.
Yeah. And do them.
And do them. So do you.
You. It's that simple.
Do you?
It's actually that simple. And I think growing more in your womanhood and in just being a more confident person, you come to that realization more. Firstly, no one really cares that much about you.
They don't.
Like, they don't care as much about you as you think. No one. And that also means that people aren't judging you as hard as you think they are.
Right.
As much as the internet can be a very, very wild and crazy place, and people can say things out of pocket, even those people who may be quote unquote haters and like early stage haters aren't as invested in you as you actually think they are. They don't care.
They don't care.
They're just saying what they want to say, and then they're going to go off and be a hater to someone else or live their life or get off Twitter and go to work.
Honestly.
There is not that much investment into you as a person. And so why are you allowing people who are not invested to have voting rights 110%. In your life? Those people are not invested. They have not given you a cobble or a dime in order to see you flourish or grow. They've given their 2 cents, but 2 cents can't buy stocks nowhere. Why do they have any voting rights in your life?
Ridiculous.
Be serious.
And also, don't spend the rest of your life trying to prove people that don't matter wrong.
What?
There was even a story that I was listening to on YouTube where a guy had done an interview with a lady who was running a company. Mm-hmm. She was making 6 to 7 million in revenue.
Nice.
And he was like, so what is your why? Like, when are you going to stop? Or like, you know, what does the exit look like for you? And she was like, 100 million exit. Mm. He was like, oh, that's incredible. Like, what's driving you? And she was like, I'm doing this for everybody that didn't believe in me and didn't believe that I would make it as an entrepreneur and didn't believe that I would get to this height. And he said to her, have you seen the stats of successful female entrepreneurs? Not to say that aspiring towards the 100 million exit is like totally unachievable, but do you realize the greatness of what you've been able to achieve? You're like 0.00% already in what you have done. Mm. And do you think that the people that you call your haters realize that either?
Mm.
And he also asked, where are they?
Mm.
And she was like, well, I ain't got nothing to say to you, and actually burst into tears because she realized just how much she had, as much of it had manifested in what seems like a very successful company.
She's living for the wrong
reasons. She is living for the wrong reasons. And I think it's really important, especially for women out there that are doing some incredible things, but they are doing it because they feel the pressure to actually live for or prove people wrong that never invested in their lives in the first place. And the funny thing is, unfortunately, majority of the time, you will get to the arbitrary line or marker that you've created for yourself and actually feel empty because you will realize that those people didn't matter in the first place. And inadvertently, many of the times, because we're so much focusing on the people that don't matter, we've actually neglected the people that do matter.
And the things that do matter and the things that matter to us. Bruh. You're now pursuing something, not to say this is her case, but a lot of people pursue something to a degree which actually doesn't matter to them, but they think matters to other people, and those people don't matter. And that's a really big problem, because then you become a slave to haters.
Yeah.
Right? Do not become a slave to anything.
No.
Don't become enslaved to people's opinions or people's applause, because people who genuinely are haters are not going to turn around and clap for you once you make it to that mark.
They will keep hating, you know.
In fact, they've actually forgotten. They'll even keep hating.
Like,
or in fact, they'll turn around and pretend to be fans and like they were never haters in the first place. So at the end of the day, the gratification you seek, you will never find. That is terrible. Absolutely terrible. To be like, I'm doing this to, you know, push it back in everybody's face, and nobody's face is there because they're all onto their next thing.
Do you know, they're even hating on somebody else by that point.
You're not even the hot stuff anymore, honey. So stop. Don't enslave yourself to opinions that really do not matter. And I think that thing of investment, women often lack so much investment, not just from a VC standpoint and like business standpoint, but even within communities, 100%. People are not as invested in women. Now they pressure women, right? They have expectations of women, but they are not invested. And I think you need to be intentional about surrounding yourself with people who are invested in you, but only give voting rights, power, authority, guiding rights to people who actually are invested. People who give you time, who give you resources, who give you nurturing, who give you affection, who have come on this journey with you to do life with you, who have decided whether you succeed or you fail, I'm here for the journey. Those are the people whose voices actually matter.
Right.
Do you get what I mean? And even then, within, like, if you're talking about stocks and shares, everyone gets voting rights according to how much they own
somebody.
And how much they invest. If you really want to have that much say over my life, you got to make sure that your investment is up there.
Knock, you know,
really be there with me on this journey. And too many of us are allowing people who have no investment in us, who have no stakes, who have no equity, who have created no sharing of any resource, to have too much say into what just it is we do, to have too much space in our mind. Like, stop letting people live rent-free in your brain.
Listen, rent-free. With this renting crisis, you're allowing people to stay in your anyway.
And what that's doing is drowning out you. It's drowning out your confidence. Like, not every voice can sit on the throne of your heart. Every feeling and emotion can. So if you feel like most of the time what you're feeling is anxiety and fear and your mind space is occupied by your haters and what people have to say, then baby, that's what's ruling you and that's what you're a slave to. So you better dethrone those things real quick and start putting things like gratitude, joy, your own autonomy, your own dreams, own dreams on your heart, right?
Facts.
Is way too short to be lived for other people who really don't matter.
And also, don't be that person. Like, I know that this episode was very much around like how to, you know, live a life free from haters or, you know, discouragement or the voices that are often entirely too loud in our lives. But also, don't be that person. Don't be that slanderer. Don't be that discourager. Don't be that person to sow the seed of doubt in your friend's heart. I think sometimes we can be so loose with our lips or so loose with our words when we should really actively, intentionally build and invest in the people around us. Oftentimes we can go on this mission of trying to find people to locate us, invest in us, support us. How far have you been that for other people? Like, really, if you were to really deep it, how much have you invested in other people before, you know, setting a loose word against them, before saying something discouraging or saying something that could be classified as hating? Many of us don't realize just how passive of a hater we are. Yeah. We'll make these loose comments about people that we see online or even our own friends. And we don't realize just how much those kind of things can take root in their heart. Facts. So examine your own conscience. Examine the way that you speak to people. Examine the words that you are sowing into other people. Because just as much as you are expecting people to invest in you, just as much as you are battling discouragement or haters or people that don't care about you or people that don't matter, don't be that person to completely destroy, or even as you were saying, become the rudder in somebody else's ship to completely deter them from the path that they were called to because of something loose that you said, or something discouraging that you said, or one small wicked word. I'm telling you, one small wicked word, even in joke, that you even in passing in jest, that you could say.
And the things that we do say in jest really stick,
bruh.
And I think what this all goes to show is that, like, as people, we actually all need support. And I know we're living in a time where, you know, it's self-made, I can do this all by myself, it's me against the world and stuff, but actually what we really all crave is encouragement.
Encouragement.
We all want encouragement because we all need courage, and courage is really hard to cultivate when you're doing it on your own. And so be an encourager, surround yourself with encouragement in encouraging people. I think it's foolish to kind of act as though we do not need that affirmation. We do not need that love. We do not need that support. We need it. And just be honest. Like, you know, I will go to my friends often. I go to Rainier often where I'm like, I really want to do this, but I'm scared. And I'm going there literally in need of someone to speak life and encouragement into me, right? And it's okay to be in that position of humility and vulnerability to say, the courage I need, I don't have, and I can't cultivate within me. It's brought me this far, but I don't know if it can actually help me to take the leap that I want to take. And so I need to go to people who can be that source of encouragement for me and see something in me that I may not see for myself. But if you look up in that time of need and you have no one, it's going to be really hard. And then you become motivated by people who, in the split of a second, they will change their opinion. They believe in you today, they'll not believe in you tomorrow. And so we all need encouragement. So yeah, be an encourager and don't be afraid to be like, I need to be encouraged.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, sisters, our time is much spent. If there is any message that we want to leave with you this week, it is be encouraged. Be an encourager, but also be encouraged. Do not allow the seeds of discouragement to be sown into your heart. The things that you really want to do this week, pursue them with all passion, pursue them with all readiness, pursue them knowing that you are called to them and you have the power and the authority to take all of those negative thoughts captive and not allow them to take root in your heart.
Okay. And even on that, I have a series coming out on my YouTube channel
Okay, hello, Miss YouTuber.
So, yeah, guys, I'm finally coming back to YouTube.
Come on now.
The tube of the net. The U of the tubes. Yeah, if you guys don't know, I'm actually a YouTuber, apparently, a YouTuber, by occupation.
You know when you Google someone, like, what's their occupation? Courtney comes up and it's definitely YouTuber.
In essence, that's what the people at YouTube actually recognize me as. However, for personal reasons, I was just like, I don't want to be on this platform anymore. But I feel like I've had this idea for a really long time, and I feel like God's been like, you know what, the people need it, you need it actually. And it's a series called Be Encouraged. So definitely pay attention to my Instagram, because I'll be posting when that's out.
Come on now.
It's coming out really soon, actually, really, really soon. And subscribe to my YouTube channel, Courtney Daniela Boateng, to actually be in the know when that comes out. But yeah, I think encouragement is something a lot of us don't realize how much we need. We need it. There's only so much motivation and grit and discipline can actually, there's only so far it can actually get you.
You need to be affirmed.
Please. Be encouraged.
And encourage somebody to, like, literally, as you're listening to this, go and send somebody a text and encourage them. Just say, sis, I see that you're doing XYZ, or your friend that is currently pursuing something, encourage them.
Yeah.
Send them a message. Let them know that they can do it.
Yeah.
They were called for such a time as this.
Sis.
Well, well, well. The encouragement of TMS stops here just for the week, but continue to be encouraged. And you can also encourage us by supporting all of our platforms and supporting us on the social of media. Let's get
social.
You
know what I'm realizing? My birthday is not on Saturday. It's next week, like the week after.
That's okay.
So I was like, wait, has the end of April come that quickly? Because I definitely said that for the novel. I need to release this season.
Screaming.
Anyways.
Yeah, it's okay. Whenever is Courtney's birthday.
LOL, my birthday is May the 4th. So.
Yeah, May the 4th. I mean, we made that clear, Sha, so people probably be listening like, do you guys count? Clearly we don't, and that's okay. Oh,
guys, but the way the weeks have been going, it's basically just next Saturday, this
running,
Saturday.
Running, running, running. Did you see if you can run it? Oh, Chris Brown. Anyway. please support us on all social media platforms. You can follow us on literally everything at To My Sisterhood. Yeah. Be a part of the community on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, yeah, on Threads. Yeah. Listen, everywhere you can find us, aside from MySpace, ain't nobody on that no more, so leave us alone. Facebook, we have like a page there, but you know, that's just so we can use Instagram just for access. So make sure that you support us on all platforms that are hip and popping right now. And of course, you can follow my lovely, wonderful, amazing best friend at CD Boateng on Instagram. But as you have heard, she's making a return to the U of Tubes, so make sure that you are tuned in. And of course, come and follow me over on all platforms at Renee Kapuku.
We love to see it. And of course, if you would love to be a part of the sisterhood and get more resources and even get encouragement to your inbox,
come on now,
then you can sign up to our mailing list on our website, tomysisters.com. We will not spam you. You already know the deal. We'll just send you love letters.
Love letters. They really listen. If you want to be encouraged this week, sign up to the Two My Sisters
for real
mailing list.
For real.
Sisters, we love you. Have a wonderful, excellent, faithful week. And we will see you next week. Until then, keep glowing and growing.
Toodle-doo.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.